Good morning. This is Perspectives. I'm Celeste Baranyi. Today, my guest is Catherine Sargent, Executive Director of The Locker Project. Good morning, Catherine.
Hi, Celeste. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start off by telling everybody what The Locker Project is. What do you do and what is your mission?
So our mission is to connect food insecure children in Maine with nourishing food to improve their learning capacity, health, and future. We do have a variety of programs at this point, mostly in partnership with public schools, but our focus is, and has been since the beginning, to make sure that all the children in the greater Portland area and outward in Cumberland County have the nourishing foods that they need to be healthy and to learn and to grow.
And this is also a whole family approach to child hunger, which is kind of a different model than some other organizations have done. Can you explain that?
Sure. Yes. We're able to provide enough food in each distribution that kids can take it home to share with their families. The contrast to, you know, if you're familiar with the way that school meals operate, even the summer, they really only have permission to provide a sandwich to the child and not to the parent. And we're providing meal ingredients, so fresh produce, lots of fresh produce and bread and meat, and also pantry staples, so rice and pasta and soup and things like that, that kids can take home and then their parents can create a meal for the family. So it is a little different than some of the other models. We do want to make sure that everybody in the family is able to partake since we are providing meal items. Typically, especially when we're distributing through elementary schools, it's important for the parents to be able to prepare those meals and help the kids access that food.
And it's fun to cook together, too. I think that's one of the things that I love about your program is that they have the groceries, but then they can make what they want with the groceries. And you're making fresh fruits and vegetables much more accessible. Tell me, where do you get the food from?
Sure. So we started out, we were just doing snacks and pantry staples way back in 2011 and even as late as 2016. And then we were able to begin participating in food rescue. So Good Shepherd Food Bank negotiates arrangements with all the major supermarkets to enable food security agencies like us to go and pick up what the stores are not going to sell. So that portion of it is a significant part of our overall food. It's more than 200,000 pounds this year that we'll be rescuing from Shaw's and Hannaford and also Rosemont Markets and Standard Baking here in Portland. So that's one way. And then we also are able to order fresh produce from Good Shepherd at no cost. And we order about a similar amount, a couple 100,000 pounds a year. And then we purchase the dry goods still and snacks either from Good Shepherd Food Bank or from other discount vendors. So we spend about $70,000 a year purchasing food. And the rest of the food that we distribute comes to us free of charge, although the effort to rescue the food is fairly costly. So we have to have vans and drivers and so forth. So some of our costs go into that part of food procurement. We're also able to get food from local farms. The Shepherd Food Bank has a program called Mainers Feeding Mainers, which is wonderful. And we're able to order from half a dozen different farms during the growing season. We've been able to get all kinds of greens. We've been able to get culturally important items that some of the new Mainers are looking for. And also, as we move into the fall, we're getting potatoes and carrots, and through the winter, we'll be able to get a fair quantity of some of the root vegetables that are being stored.
And there's an environmental element here, too, because I'm hearing that we're keeping a lot of food out of our waste chain, and food waste is a huge problem.
The food rescue program that Good Shepherd organizes does keep literally millions of pounds of food out of the landfill. So it's mostly in good shape and edible when we get it. I mean, we do have a contract with Garbage to Gardens. We compost the rest. Some of the other agencies are able to send some of that to pig farms. And there's a variety of ways the agencies deal with what has to be discarded. But it is literally millions of pounds of food that we're keeping out of the waste stream.
And this fall marks 10 years for the Locker Project. Congratulations as a nonprofit. And the school pantry program began a few years earlier. How have you evolved over the years?
So as I mentioned, we did start doing snacks and pantry staples. The beginning was at the East End Community School in Portland. And one of our founding board members had noticed that there were kids in her daughter's kindergarten class that weren't bringing in any snacks. And so she started bringing in snacks and soon realized that some of those kids had very little to eat at home as well. So they started a closet in the nurse's office, which became our first school pantry. And so we did mostly donated canned goods and donated dry goods for the first few years. And then in 2017, we were able to start doing fresh food. And we had a location in Scarborough with a walk-in cooler so that we could store fresh food safely. And we've basically evolved in response to community need ever since. We about doubled in size when the pandemic began, you know, in response to the extreme spike in hunger among families. And so we're continuing to do that. We do a lot of listening to the community. We're always looking to find out what people are looking for in terms of culturally important items. And we try to get infant food when we can, because we do serve a lot of families with toddlers and infants. So things like that. We're listening. We're hearing lately that there are a lot more families looking for food assistance. I had really expected it to decline when the pandemic sort of waned, but because of the higher food prices and all the other economic pressures on families, we're actually seeing a steady increase in the number of families who are looking for food assistance. So we're working through that, trying to figure out how to access more resources so that we can provide more food to more families and make sure kids have the foods that they need. As I think pretty much everyone knows, it's super important that kids are well nourished, starting at birth and even before, really. That's our focus, and that's how we're continuing to evolve.
And introducing them to like really healthy foods, to fresh foods, is really important. And you've mentioned a couple of times, touched upon how you are providing foods for new Mainers to address cultural and dietary preferences. And I know with my daughter just being away at college, she can't wait to come home and eat her food at our house. She, you know, she used to be bored with it, but there really is something about home cooking, the foods that you are familiar with. Can you talk about how important food is to people who are becoming acclimated to Maine and making them feel more welcome here?
I mean, you can imagine the adjustments that people have to go through and the difficulties they've had getting here. And I think food is one way that we can be welcoming. And over the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a real movement among farms to grow some things or save some things that new Mainers are interested in. Like sweet potato leaves used to be discarded and now they're harvested, and a variety of greens that I had never heard of before a couple of years ago. Amaranth and some other things that are being grown locally now. And so we can get those from the farms. And it makes an enormous difference. One of our partners, it was the Head Start at East End, sent us a little video a few weeks ago of a woman from Senegal who was literally jumping up and down with a handful of greens because it was the first time since she'd arrived in Maine that she'd seen it. And that was pretty rewarding for us to see. You know, it's food and it's nourishment, but it can also be joy. And it was great to see.
Oh, that is wonderful. And you will share more than 500,000 pounds with families this year. How can your community help support you in this? Because, you know, you're saying that you get some of it for free, but there are also costs involved with picking it up and all of that. How can we support you?
Well, there are a variety of ways. Obviously, we're community funded. We apply for lots of grants. But we also rely on individuals in the community and local businesses to support us financially if they can. We have lots of volunteer opportunities. We have more than 150 active volunteers currently who do come to the warehouse and pack bags and boxes, who help out at our fresh food events. We have some opportunities for people who would like to drive food from one place to another. And we also welcome people to do food drives. The more donated food that we have, particularly kid-friendly items like mac and cheese and soup and snacks, the less of our own budget that we have to spend on it. So food drives really do help a lot. We have a big food drive in March and April where we collect as much mac and cheese as possible. So that's pretty fun, and we've had good participation in that. But the next couple of months, the holiday season, we would also welcome folks who would like to do food drives for us. And there's a list on our website, mainlockerproject.org/feedkids. Where you can see all the different items that we're interested in collecting. So different people have different things to offer, and we welcome any and all ways of participating in what we're doing. Really appreciate it.
And your annual appeal is running now through the month of December. And tell us how important monthly donors are and how we can become monthly donors.
It is really important for us to have regular revenue. So we have a program, it's the Booster Club, we call it, for monthly donors, and any amount helps. You can go to our website again, mainlockerproject.org/donate, and make a donation. And there is an option there to make it monthly. It's a great way to sort of just set it and forget it and know that it's coming to us and enabling us to keep the lights on here and keep the food moving from where it isn't needed to where it really is, which is with kids and families.
And even $10 or $20 a month, I mean, give what you can, but you barely feel that, and it's an automatic withdrawal, but it makes such a huge difference. And when it's a nonprofit such as this, it's really great for them to be able to rely on those reoccurring donations happening every month. So I really encourage you to go to their website and sign up there for that.
I just so appreciate you having me on today. I relish the opportunity to share our story with people. I think Portland and the greater Portland area and Maine as a whole too, it's such a wonderful community and people are so caring. And I think it's important that I'm able to remind people that there are still literally thousands of children at risk of going hungry. Right here in greater Portland, there's roughly 6,000, 6,500, depending on how you count them. But, you know, kids who may be going home to not much for dinner, not much for breakfast, and they're relying on school meals. And fortunately, school meals are universally available now for kids who are 5 to 18 and in school. But there are younger kids, and there's the time that's spent at home on the weekends, during school break, and so forth, where they may not have good, nutritious foods to eat. And that's what we're working on, and it takes the whole community to get it done. And we appreciate whatever help you can provide.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for all the work that you are doing to support our community. It's really an amazing program. I mean, everything from the partnering to the environmental impact that you're having to feeding families, not just children, but whole families. So thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Celeste. I really appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Catherine Sargent, Executive Director of the Locker Project. I'm Celeste Baragni. This has been Perspectives.